Be a buddy, not a bully.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, cyberbullying. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben. Hello.
Oh, sorry. I'm just sending you a snap on Snapchat.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't get it because I don't have Snapchat.
Oh, okay, well, that was going to be my next question. Do you do Snapchat?
Well, so. I had it at one time, but no one ever sent me snaps, and I never sent any snaps. Mm-hmm. I think it's more for the young kids. It's just not, yeah.
It for sure is, and we'll come back to Snapchat later.
But I do not use it.
I don't have Snapchat either. That was just a little joke. But what's your favorite social media platform?
I would have to say that it's between Reddit and Instagram, because I'm always on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I've mentioned, I have curated my Reddit so that, you know, I have like a good mix of stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I find out a lot of stuff on Reddit and there are actually good conversations and discussions that take place there. But I also love Instagram. The only problem with both of those is the algorithm. If I accidentally linger too long on a photograph of an injured animal, which often pops up because I have animals, or I read something about a cat's behavior or something on Reddit, then all I get is injured animals. Yep. And then I like want to throw my phone against the wall.
Yeah, that's really funny because I like whales and orcas are probably one of my favorite animals. So I've, you know, follow a lot of orca pages.
Yes.
And on my Instagram grid, there was a picture of like a whale breaching, an orca breaching, and its wiener was like sticking out.
Oh no.
So I clicked that picture and was like looking at it.
Oh my goodness.
And then for days it was just whale wieners on my Instagram grid.
Yeah. That's awful. Side tangent. Have you seen Blackfish?
Yes.
Since you love orcas.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was actually one of the things that like really got me into.
Yeah.
Orcas.
Okay.
That
it's
documentary.
Just spoiler alert. It's a really sad documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
I like Instagram too. It's probably my favorite.
Yes.
I didn't think about Reddit, but I do use Reddit, but mostly for like gaming. So all of the games I play, I follow the Reddits on there for like hints and stuff. So we were just talking about algorithms and we've had like algorithm injustice or justice on the list for a while.
We've got to cover that.
Yeah. I would be really interested in listening to
maybe
that
will be next. Mm-hmm.
But social media is fun and entertaining, but obviously there are lots of dark sides to it.
Correct.
Algorithmic problems. But one problem is cyberbullying.
Yes.
And I'll just give a quick content warning here. We're going to be talking about suicide in several places through the episode today. So listen with caution. So in prepping for this episode, I read a story about a girl in New Jersey, Emily Murillo, who was a teen and she'd struggled with mental health disorders and had been bullied for years. And during the pandemic, her bullies targeted her online and ultimately she died by suicide. But that didn't stop her bullies. So they apparently had a live stream funeral.
That is horrific.
Funeral, yeah. And her bullies hacked into the service, posted porn in the funeral service thread.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the bullies had the live stream funeral. You're just saying like it was
no, it was the family hosted the funeral.
Gotcha.
From what I read, it was like it was her funeral.
Gotcha. I was totally confused.
Yeah, and the bullies showed up in her funeral and posted porn pictures and threatened to blow up her body in the casket. And one juvenile was arrested and charged with cyber harassment and making terroristic threats. There weren't really a lot of details about the exact nature of her bullying, but obviously this story illustrates the extremes that cyber bullies will go to.
Right. Wow.
And we've talked before about kind of the challenges of like being a kid and being a teen in the digital world. And that's something that we didn't have to deal with. But cyberbullying can be an issue that a lot of kids face. According to several data sources, including the school crime supplement to the NCVS, the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System, about 15 to 20% of kids in middle and high school experience cyberbullying in the U.S. More recent estimates by the Cyberbullying Research Center indicate that it's potentially increasing and may reach as high as 30%. And according to the Pew Research Center, nearly half of all teens report being called offensive names online. But for more serious forms of cyberbullying, that data kind of line up with the 20% or so.
That's the study I read. Mm-hmm.
In a meta-analysis published in Frontiers in Public Health, estimated a worldwide prevalence rate between 16 and 53% for cyberbullying.
So what is cyberbullying? Let's try to clearly define it for our listeners. Mm-hmm.
Cyberbullying is the use of digital technologies to bully. Yes. And bullying is the intentional, unwanted harming, and that can be physical, emotional, or social, of someone else. And that behavior is repetitive and includes a power imbalance. And by that, that could be like age, younger or older bullying, younger popularity, social status, physical size, power imbalance. So cyberbullying can include bullying on social media, messaging platforms, gaming platforms, and cell phones. And it requires repeated behavior that's designed to like scare, shame, or anger targets. A lot of times cyberbullying can be like indirect or public. So instead of like targeting the person directly, you might like post things publicly or, you know, share mean images in group threads. And oftentimes cyber and face-to-face bullying can co-occur.
Right.
And cyberbullying is more than just like teasing or just a joke. Like, yes. You know, it's kind of like that distinction, like if you're being laughed at versus being laughed with. So if it makes you feel bad, if it causes you unwanted attention from friends or even from strangers, or if you've asked for it to stop, that's not a joke. That's cyberbullying. So I was watching this one informational video that gave examples of cyberbullying, and one interesting example. I'm going to ask you what you think about this.
Okay.
So you've got like two friends and they're like, you know, playing around on the playground, and one takes a picture of the other, in like the other kid, like, you know, is making a silly face or a weird face, and they're both kind of like joking and laughing about it. And so the kid posts it online, and again, they're both kind of like, oh, isn't this funny? But then people start making like mean and rude comments underneath that picture. So is that cyberbullying? Particularly, that was about the kid that posted the picture online.
Well, I mean, I think there's a consent conversation, but they both did it together, right? I mean, the issue is the negative comments, but I believe that Pew Research Center study that I was looking at just says somebody saying mean things and calling you names online is cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. So the kid didn't really engage in it, but then what happened after would be defined as cyberbullying.
Yeah, so the mean harassing comments would be, but as far as like the kid who posted the picture, the answer would be no, because again, they were like both doing it together. They were both involved. But then the video went on to say that like, okay, once these mean comments start happening, if the friend asks you to take the picture down and you don't, then that would kind of cross the line into cyberbullying.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So some more specific examples of types of cyberbullying include spreading lies or posting embarrassing photos or videos or other information online, sending hurtful, abusive, or threatening messages, images, or videos, impersonating someone or making a fake account to send mean messages to someone, threats and harassment on social media and gaming feature. And I mean, threats and harassment, that just sounds like, you know, I'm going to get you. But like in a lot of the stories we talk about, like these are things like you should kill yourself, you know, like like, you know, serious things like that. And then finally, one of the most serious things is like manipulated images, deep fakes, porns, porn photos, and sextortion are kind of like the extreme examples. And of course, AI has made this even easier to do. So you don't even have to send nudes anymore.
Yes.
You can just use AI to create fake nudes of someone else. And cyberbullying is particularly harmful and pernicious. There's a nice SAT word for you, pernicious. Not to diminish face-to-face bullying, but there are particularly harmful aspects or platforms for cyberbullying. So let's talk about some of those.
Okay.
So first, some of the unique aspects or harms of cyberbullying. It's like persistent and inescapable. And,
right.
And we've mentioned this before on the podcast, but like digital devices offer like continuous and immediate ways to communicate. So you can't escape it.
Yes.
When you go home, your phone and your computer are still there. So you can't get away from your bully.
Yes.
It also can be permanent. So things that are posted online, even if someone else can screenshot it, even if it's deleted, those things are out there forever.
Yes.
And I'm thinking like on the most recent season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Kenya Moore actually got fired. I mean, she did. Like one of the she's like one of the big names.
Right.
But one of the new housewives on there, apparently, I don't know if she did an OnlyFans or something, but apparently there was like some pictures of her engaging in activities with a man.
Okay.
And so she and Kenya Moore got in a fight, and Kenya Moore like made big poster boards of pictures of these images.
Oh my goodness.
And it was like at one of her events. So this was like, she was like launching a new hair care product. So she pulled out these photos and like,
did she get fired for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She got fired for that. So anyway, like, this was years ago. These things are permanent. Even if you try to delete them, somebody's gonna get them.
Yes.
Cyberbullying is also harder to notice. So people, teachers, adults are more likely to see kids being pushed around or taunted on the playground.
Right.
But cyberbullying's digital. So even if an adult is in the room, when it's happening, it can be invisible and go unnoticed. And it can also be anonymous. So cyberbullies can create fake profiles or fake phone numbers. And cyberbullying can even come from strangers in online games. And like fake numbers and profiles, that's especially problematic because you can block your bully or report them.
Yes.
But then they can just come right back by creating another fake number or profile.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Snapchat before, and it seems to particularly lend itself to cyberbullying.
Of course.
Yeah. One of my seniors last year did her senior project on cyberbullying. And so we were kind of talking about like Snapchat and cyberbullying overall, during her presentation. And of course, it's, we talked about like tough, inescapable, but Snapchat is an app where you send messages and images and snaps disappear.
Yes.
And they quote unquote can't be screenshotted or
yes.
you get notified if someone screenshot you. But there are obviously ways around, if you got two devices, which most people do, you can just take a picture of one screen with your other device.
Yes.
According to a Snapchat exec, and you mentioned this earlier, like kind of for the young kids, Snapchat reaches 90% of 13 to 24 year olds in the US. So it seems to really be kind of like a young people thing. It's a place for like the kids to hang out where their parents aren't. So like, your parents and your grandparents are on Facebook.
And now on Instagram.
Yeah. So Snapchat is where you go to hang out as a kid online without your parents. And officially you can sign up for Snapchat at 13, but there's no age verification. So you can just lie. I read a story about a teen who shared a topless photo of his girlfriend on his Snapchat story.
Ooh.
And, she's like, what the heck? And he's like,
yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was a big deal because this just disappears and I control who like viewed my story.
Oh.
And because Snapchat seems private like that, people seem to be willing to like say and do things that they wouldn't in other places on the internet. So in the same article, they were interviewing teens who use Snapchat, and like the kids were saying, like they felt more free there. They felt like they could be themselves and they could share things on Snapchat that they wouldn't in other places.
Right.
So Snapchat particularly seems to have even more of kind of this like disinhibiting effect than other social media platforms, which obviously can get you in trouble.
Yeah, because of the aspect of disappearing, right? Mm-hmm. People think it disappears. But spoiler here, people, Snapchat always has your stuff.
Yep.
So if they need to get it for an investigation or something, they can do that.
Oh,
and they have.
Mm-hmm. Another avenue that I've heard about is kids games like Roblox and
very popular now.
Minecraft.
Right? Yeah.
La 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 lava, chicken. Have you seen that?
No.
That's like, remember the Mario movie?
Yes.
And it was Jack Black like, peach. Anyway, the Minecraft movie, this is Jack Black's song from that. It's like super catchy.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my favorite songs ever. But anyway, la la lava, anyway. I don't know exactly how these games work, but I think it's kind of like a virtual world where you like create your character and you go roam about and you can like buy currency with like Roblox, which apparently Robux or Roblox. Anyway, that's apparently like Robux. The money that you can buy to use. And I've seen posts from some of my friends who are parents, kind of, you know, like vague booking, like, oh, I hate Roblox, and I've, you know, pulled my kid off it, and they're not on there. So apparently there's, you know, some aspect of like stranger danger, like, you know, reports of child predators using these games to talk to kids. But also, you know, kids can bully each other in the game.
Right. Like,
make fun of your character or make fun of you because you're poor and you don't have enough Roblox. There's also this phenomenon I read about. So apparently it's like a little kid's game. Or at least targeted for little kids. But teens will like frequently log on and like bully and harass little kids on Roblox and Minecraft and stuff. And people
what
can
little
be
turkeys.
Yeah, I know. And people can be mean in online games. I mean, I'm not a big online gamer, but just as an adult, like there are a couple of, I'm like a perfectionist, so I have to get all of the trophies for a game. So if there's a game that I want that has online trophies, then I have to like go do the online thing. And I mean, I've never experienced like repeated harass bullying, but like in this one game, I, you know, like teamed up with these guys and they were just chatting and asking me what I did. And I said like, oh, I'm a, you know, professor, I'm a criminologist. And then they started saying things like, oh, you're like teaching the police how to like attack black people and all this stuff. Kind of like, you know, going on and on me like that. I was like, no, just the opposite. Trying anyway. But I mean, it's like, again, this stuff can get serious, and that you can like be, and I found myself being mean. I mean, I wasn't like a bully, but I would like lose my patience because you've got like these, like the end game content where you get like the best loot. Usually it's like super difficult and you're online, so you can't just like save it and come back later.
Right.
And usually you have to have like four players to do all of these puzzles, and it takes like an hour or 2 hours, and you don't get, you know, like the loot you need till the end. So if somebody doesn't know what they're doing or drop out, like you get really frustrated really quick. Man. So anyway, online games can be an avenue for cyberbullying as well.
Okay. So who are these people being mean to little kids online? What are some of the characteristics of online bullies and victims?
Well, it's not me.
Okay, good.
I was mean, but not to little
kids. It's like, get it together, man.
Exactly,
come on.
Exactly.
You were that kind of,
So cyber bullies, like I said, aren't just online bullies. There's a strong correlation between cyberbullying and perpetrating bullying in the real world.
Correct.
And also studies indicate that bullies in general have a lack of remorse and empathy. And it's even easier to ignore victims' pain when you're cyberbullying because a lot of times you don't see that, don't see how they react.
Right.
Research also shows that older teens are more likely to be involved in cyberbullying, and particularly in more serious forms such as the explicit images things. As far as victim risk factors, teen girls are somewhat more likely than boys to be the victims of cyberbullying. And I didn't really see anything about why that's the case, just mostly kind of dry stats reporting. So you got any ideas about why teen girls may be?
Yeah, well, so the stats also show that they're also the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. And, you know, victim-perpetrator relationship, it makes sense. It's girls and girls, teen girls especially. But, you know, there are a couple things to think about. One is that girls, when they bully, it tends to be relational. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's non-physical, indirect types of bullying. Mm-hmm. And social media really lends itself to be able to do this, like with the relational aspect, you know, kind of turning people against each other, things that you would do in real life. It's really easy to do that on social media. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. And also second is that, especially with teen girls, they're looking to social media and the internet for validation, self-validation. And so, you know, in doing that, you're spending more time online. And because they're spending more time on this social media looking for self-validation, then it tends to be this like little vicious cycle. It's easy to get, you know, kind of sucked into that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, having a pre-existing mental health disorder is a risk factor for cyberbullying victimization. And of course, it's a vicious cycle because cyberbullying can increase or lead to mental health effects, which we'll talk about more in just a second. And also, you mentioned this just a moment ago, heavy internet use is a risk factor for both perpetration and victimization of cyberbullying. So both cyberbullies and victims are significantly more likely to spend more time online compared to those who don't experience cyberbullying.
Makes sense when you think about the gamers bullying one another, right? Heavy internet use. Okay, so you mentioned the effects of cyberbullying. You want to come back to that?
Yeah, like I said before, cyberbullying can be even more impactful than regular bullying. Both of them, you know, involve repetitive, unwanted harassment and power imbalance, but cyberbullying can be overwhelming because there's no escape. It can follow you home, and it can happen when you're in the safety of your own home. And research has shown that victims experience feelings of anger, shame, fear, embarrassment, and low self-esteem as a result of being bullied. More serious mental health consequences include anxiety, depression, withdrawal from activities, loss of interest in life. So, for example, other kind of related consequences can be like reduced academic performance or like skipping school to avoid bullies, even though, you know, you're kind of being bullied at home. You don't want to go to school and see the people who are sending you mean messages and stuff at yes. school. And also use of alcohol and drugs to cope. There are even some physical symptoms that bullying victims can experience, like loss of sleep, stomach issues, headaches.
Right.
And of course, we'll talk about kind of responses next, but victims oftentimes experience these things kind of in isolation because the shame and embarrassment or fear of retaliation or making things worse if you speak up, victims a lot of times don't want to say anything about it. And of course, the most extreme result is suicidal ideation and death by suicide.
Right.
And just a quick Google news search reveals multiple examples of this. So just a few examples. In 2022, a 15-year-old boy in Chicago died by suicide after being harassed in text messages and on Snapchat. And the messages included encouragement to kill himself and indirect death threats. And the boy apparently went to the dean of students. He went to like this prestigious private school, but no action was taken and the parents were not notified. Mm-hmm. And so the parents are suing the school and trying to advocate for laws that would require parental notification. Also in 2022, a 16-year-old girl in Florida died by suicide after experiencing cyberbullying. So her friend shared inappropriate pictures of her in a group message and on Snapchat and distributed screenshots of texts where she was like confiding in one of her friends about being the survivor of child sexual abuse by a family member. So they were like passing these screenshots of these texts around. In 2023, a boy in Texas was found by his parents in his gaming chair with his gaming headset still on, and he had been harassed and encouraged to kill himself by a player in Michigan. So this was like a stranger thing, bullying online in games.
Yeah.
And the story didn't provide a lot of details about like the ages or specific games since these were kids, I'm assuming. But just, you know, three quick searches illustrate that this is happening. And overall, suicide is like the second or third leading cause of death for teens, kind of depending upon the year and data source you look at.
Right. Awful. So
yeah.
What can we do about this?
For a lot of the reasons we've already talked about, it's a difficult problem to tackle because of like the secrecy and the shame. And of course, the law is always kind of lagging behind technological developments. But there are a number of things to consider when trying to like prevent or respond to cyberbullying. We said this before in our porn episode, although it's age restriction.
I know,
like to call it our porn episode, but age restriction for porn. But parents can restrict access to phones and internet and social media use for kids. Like we've, you know, said before, time online is a major risk factor.
Right.
So keep your kids offline and monitor their online activity.
As we discussed, you mm-hmm. know, when we were discussing Netflix Adolescence, mm-hmm. that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because they thought he was safe. Remember, mm-hmm. they said in the film, in the TV mm-hmm. series, they thought he was safe because he was here. He was home mm-hmm. in his room, mm-hmm. spending all his time online where he was becoming actually an incel.
Yeah. That's still on my list. I haven't watched it yet.
But oh, okay.
It's on my to-do list. Another protective factor for avoiding cyberbullying in a meta-analysis was emotional intelligence and education and guidance about online safety. So talking to kids, educating them, and helping them develop good online habits is a good thing. Schools can or might do something about it, but it's also hard for schools to address, particularly if things are like happening outside of school hours. That can kind of create a gray area. But if you're trying to prevent cyberbullying, first of all, be careful about what information or images you share online. We've, you know, kind of hinted at this repeatedly. It may seem temporary, it may seem harmless, but you put it out there, it's permanent, and people can get to it and use it against you. If you're a victim, seek help from someone you trust. Talk to your parents, teachers, counselors. There are also online help resources for victims, and collect evidence. So, you know, screenshots and digital evidence is being used against you. Collect your own evidence. Cyberbullying also leaves a record in digital footprints. You can also block your bullies, report harassment to specific platforms, delete apps, and stay offline. But for reasons we talked about before, they can come back. And also, that just seems kind of like glib, like, oh, just stay offline. Our whole life is
online. It's not realistic.
And then there's legal recourse. You know, the law is always kind of lagging behind technology, and statutes are being developed and proposed. But Virginia actually does have a harassment by computer statute, and it's a class one misdemeanor. In the example that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the New Jersey girl, as a result of that, there's a bill being proposed that would restrict targeted ads and personal data collection for young users and would require mental health warnings on social media sites, ban cell phones during school for K through 12 during school hours, require mandatory education on responsible and ethical technology use, and also make the production and distribution of deepfakes a crime. So those are some things to keep in mind if you have kids or are worried about cyberbullying.
Yeah, remember in our porn episode, we talked about how many kids were looking at porn at school on school devices during the school day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, kids and their devices. Yeah. Speaking of which.
Anything else you got to.
Yeah, so I called my niece, Halle Berry, really. That's her name. But she spells it differently, H-A-L-L-I-E. Anyway, she's my oldest niece, nephew. She's 16. She's driving. She's interning at a law firm this summer. She wants to be a divorce lawyer.
It's very specific.
When she grows up,
It's very specific. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I called her just to kind of chat about this and ask her about stuff, you know, that's like happened at her school and see what all the, you know, kids are up to. And it's a small rural school where she goes to, so it may not be very representative. But she told me about two instances that have happened recently. So one, this girl won Homecoming Queen or some kind of pageant, I think it was, and like a lot of the other girls didn't like her.
Oh, okay.
So they created a fake account in the queen's name and posted like an old photo. Apparently there was like a, you know, in, as a kid she was in black makeup or something. Anyway, something like that. Yeah. It was like an embarrassing old photo. So this was kind of like a targeted thing.
Yeah,
to humiliate this one person. She also said there was like a general anonymous Instagram account that was apparently run by four girls, and they posted like mean things and pictures about everyone. And some parents got mad and went to the principal, who actually happens to be Hallie's dad and my brother-in-law, who's the principal of the high school there.
Yeah.
So they shut the page down. And she was kind of cagey about this.
Oh, okay.
But also, like, to start the phone conversation, I said, like, okay, research ethics, like, don't tell me anything that I would have to report or that I would have to tell.
Oh,
so I think that she was thinking about that when she was telling me about this.
Yeah,
so
it's like if Regina George from Mean Girls had IG, what she would do instead of the burn book or whatever, you'd have like a fake account.
Yeah, Instagram.
Yeah.
And she said like almost all of the kids at her school had Snapchat, and Snapchat and TikTok seemed to be the place where all the mean things were going on. And she also said they could have their phones and they could use their phones during school.
Yeah, this explains a lot.
Like they get
by the time we get them, they're so addicted.
Yeah, they get done with their work, they can play on their phones, they can have their phones at lunch and stuff. She did say that the school Wi-Fi had social media sites blocked, but everyone could just use a VPN or turn on their cellular data.
Exactly.
And
look at porn. As we said in that episode, kids are looking at porn at school.
Yeah. I also asked her what the school could do about it. And she said that several kids had gotten ISS for posting stuff on social media. And it didn't have to be at school or during school for you know, the school to do something about it. So that was a pretty interesting conversation. So from Uncle Ben, thanks for the help and contribution to the show, Hallie.
Yeah, thanks, Hallie. I also received ISS in high school, but that was for old school skipping. That's
skipping school.
If you're absent, they call your house. And I usually didn't have to worry about that because there was no one home. Mm-hmm. Turns out there was somebody home at this time. And they're like, ah, well, she's supposed to be in school. ISS was so boring. Mm. In school suspension, you basically finish all of your work in the first couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a smart kid.
Yeah. And then you're just like sitting there in well, I don't know if I could use my phone back then.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if they take your phone away from you when you're in ISS or not.
Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if they don't, like,
what's the point? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, I guess that's it, unless you have anything.
I do not.
All right. So it's our minute to spin it then, where we give our takeaway from today's episode. So Tommy, in just a minute, what's your spin?
So I didn't really come up with a spin, but I just wanted to, like, you know, again, go back and listen to our porn episode, verification law episode.
One of my favorites. You know.
Because, you know, there's a lot of like unsupervised time online that seems to be a problem here.
Yeah.
Some of these behaviors have always existed, bullying, right? But it's different when it moves into an invisible space and there's a lack of guardianship and there's a lack of supervision. So please talk to your children about bullying online and what that looks like and how it's different and have that conversation with them and you know, they should feel safe coming to you and having this kind of stuff, these conversations. Also, I totally think that kids should be restricted from social media up until, I don't know, high school. But that's just me. Anyway.
Yeah, Hallie just got a Facebook account.
Yeah.
I don't think she's allowed on Snapchat or Instagram, but like she's 16 and driving and she just now.
I just think it's bad for girls. I mean, I just know what my life was like as a 15, 16 year old girl. And if we had social media, it would be so much worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ben, what's your spin?
Be a buddy, not a bully. I saw that online.
I didn't come that's up really with that. Nice.
But yeah, I did too. Yeah, like that's really like nice. Sweet. Like be a buddy, not a bully.
Yes.
Canadian researcher Bill Belzy, who supposedly coined the term cyberbullying. I mean, he's got his own website, but it looks like it was made in the 90s.
He probably hasn't updated it since then.
But anyway, he supposedly came up with the term cyberbullying, but he had an acronym on his website about posting on social media. Think before you post, which I think is good advice all around. Ask yourself, think before you post. Is what you're about to post true? T, true. H, helpful. I, inspiring. N, nice. And K, kind. It's nice to be nice.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website, linked in show notes, to see how you can support our educational programming.